times for mourning and times for celebration in the Christian life, times when reflection is the most faithful pose, and times that faith calls for specific action. And Advent might be my favorite season because of its call for us to wait expectantly and prepare with hope, two things that are not natural for us in our modern world. But I have to also admit, sometimes I find aspects of Advent to be confusing, or at least difficult to practice. I yearn, I wait, I hope, come thou long expected Jesus. But I also remember. I remember singing these same songs last year. It's hard every year to wait on the coming of the Christ child when you have experienced Christmas so many times and know that God is already with us. As I sat writing this sermon, I even wore a shirt that I received last Christmas as a gift, as a tangible reminder that I have done this before. It's hard to lift my eyes to some future hope when I have felt the joy of Easter so palpably through the years and know that the work of redemption was fully realized there. It's difficult to read again that vision in Isaiah of God calling all people to the holy mountain when I have prayed for that peace so many times it seems like a pipe dream or an unattainable future vision that we just hold out again and again. And so I sometimes find myself manufacturing a posture of waiting, carving out a Saturday morning for spiritual retreat, as long as it's over by noon, so I have my afternoon, to get me in the spirit and prepare my heart to come near to the mystery of the incarnation. And then I return to my busy holiday schedule later that day. Sometimes I'm not waiting expectantly, but almost resignedly. Not for something I hope for and trust in, but can't produce on my own. But knowing that Christmas will come soon, like it always does, and I have practical things to do to make that happen. I find myself feeling not a growing sense of peace, but an anxiety that I need to get it right and check all the boxes to have that feeling again this Christmas. I guess I'm saying that if I'm honest, I often set my vision much lower than it should be, not waiting for the Christ child, the reality of God with us, but holding out for Christmas, the beautiful holiday. I'm not trying to catch the vision of Isaiah for a perfected world in which we are all at peace, all made whole, and joined around the table of God, but rather settling for the attainable goal of joining some family and friends around my dinner table and avoiding certain topics so that we have a peaceful couple of hours before we go our separate ways again. I know in my heart that Advent is calling us to so much more than that, but the busyness of the season encourages me to lower my sights a bit and settle for some almost attainable present that I can likely accomplish, rather than trusting in the inspiring vision that Isaiah has cast for the future of God and calling us, and he is calling us to. And I suspect I am not the only one who does that in this season. I think this happens in part because many times we talk about the journey of faith without adequately describing, as Isaiah does, what the destination looks like. Sometimes we wait without a clear picture of what it is we are hoping for. Advent calls us to wait expectantly, to hope for a clear vision of the future of God. Isaiah paints the picture of a place where all yearn to be, and they are all welcomed there. A place where they do not war or even learn of war or arm themselves for war, where everyone streams to because they know for sure it is better than the reality they have, and they yearn for the truth of God who stands at the center. When I stop and read this passage carefully, I long for that mountain, and I want to do whatever I can to make that dream a present reality. But then December happens, and I get busy again with the list of mundane tasks of the season, and often lose sight of that vision and the steps it takes to get there. Many of you know that Jenny and I take a hiking trip most summers to enjoy the mountains. This past August was the first time we went when our little boy Rowan could actually really pay attention, enjoy the outdoors, and get something out of the trip. I would let him walk about the first mile with me on the flatter parts of the trail before the strenuous hiking started, and then put him in the backpack and carry him until about the last mile or so, when it began to level back out. And then I'd put him down so he could walk and explore nature some more. He loved it, and it was fun to watch him discovering and learning, but it was almost painfully slow. Not because he has short little legs, but because he insisted on stepping on and climbing up every single rock that was in the path. And when you're in the Rocky Mountains, that's a lot of them. I let him do it for a while, grunting and straining, climbing, taking four times as long as it should have. So after a bit, I took his hand and said, "Rowan, you don't have to climb every rock. You can walk around them." And I led him around the big ones. And honest to goodness, he looks up at me with his faith and says, "Oh." And we walked on a little bit like that, making pretty good progress. And then he pulled his hand away from me and started climbing every rock in the path again. I tell that story not just because I like to tell cute stories about my kid, though I do, but because I feel like that is us in Advent every year. When we get the story of the holy mountain of God and the admonition to prepare ourselves, every time God implores us to look up at the big picture, see where God is calling us to go, catch the vision and make a plan for getting ourselves there. And every time we focus only on the challenge right in front of us, that really doesn't need to be a challenge at all and won't help us get to the summit any faster. Setting your heart on the picture of the summit that God is calling us to is far more important in the grand scheme of things than completing every task on the checklist that doesn't really need done and conquering every small obstacle that comes along but has little to do with the grand vision. Advent is the time to practice the right way of preparing ourselves to climb God's holy mountain and experience God's vision of peace and wholeness. Being a Christian in Advent is about longing for one who has already come and living in the tension of full faith and continued expectation. It's about hoping in a reality that we are already certain of and trying to make it present among us. It's about preparing for a vision of the future that looks and feels crazy sometimes in our present circumstances, but taking the steps anyway to try and reach that viewpoint. This is part of the great lesson of the church year. We do live in the reality of the resurrection of Christ and still long for his advent, for the full realization of that vision among us. Our problem is that we are not very good at living in that tension. We pull away and try to do it our own way. We miss the view from the top of the mountain because we are congratulating ourselves on climbing every small rock along the way. In Isaiah's imagery, we sheathe our swords, but we don't beat them into plowshares because we might need them for the next battle. It's hard to commit to the vision of God when we live in the realities of this fallen world. Advent encourages us to practice anyway, though. For just 4 weeks, what it would look like for us to prepare for the coming of Christ with compassion and grace and welcome, by encountering each new person as though they might be the Christ coming into our lives. We are asked to set aside some demands on our time, to truly make space to wait expectantly, preparing the way in our own hearts and in the world around us. We are told to make peace in our souls and in the world by disarming and de-weaponizing the destructive things in our lives, beating our very words into things that foster life instead of destruction, molding our interactions into tools for cultivation instead of devastation. We don't know what the timetable for the journey is, but we can be fairly clear what the path to the summit looks like. We must invite others, practice peace, encourage unity. Those things were the work of Christ the first time around, and they will be hallmarks of his reign in the second coming. We can prepare for those and help others to do the same. Because we have received a small taste of that reality and recognize the fruits of it, it should be easier for us to follow the path and even lead others. This season, may God help us to cast away the old patterns, the failed ways, and the works of darkness in our lives, and put on the light of Christ as we move towards his coming into our world anew. Amen.